And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your ba-boom.
He is still Jalen Rose. What up, dope? I'm David Jacoby. And on the cool check-in. Together with Jalen and Jacoby.
Center
what
stage
is it that we?
Oh,
on.
No. Oh, no. Oh, no. Rich.
It's harder than you think. It's harder than you think, man. We got two different intros.
You enthusiastic about starting the show?
Yeah, man. We got two different intros. We got the TV version and then the podcast version, and I often get the two confused. I apologize to all of our listeners.
We got multiple shows, fam.
I apologize to Reg the Ledge. I apologize to Jalen Anthony Rose. I apologize to my family.
You know what I blame? Here's who I blame.
Who you blame?
Your rec league team. That's who I blame.
Oh, man. The frequent flyers.
See, that score of zero got your head messed up.
It really
but
did.
But we still
really did.
Get a people! What they want.
So much to talk about today. The Clippers and Warriors game. Big game between Houston and the Bucks. Very interesting game. A lot to discuss there. Turns out the Pistons are not going to be 82-0 this year.
What?
81-1. 81-1.
What?
The Knicks and the Pistons are each going 81-1, tied for the best record in the league. Somehow, they're going to tie every game they play, too. I just realized that was impossible. And we have a full weekend of football to preview for you. A couple big games in college, one of which involves the Michigan Wolverines. Do you know who they're playing this week?
Hail to the victors. Notre Dame.
They're playing this week?
The Golden Domers. The Golden Domers.
The only reason they have a chance is because it's in the big house. I saw where the game was. I was like, maybe this could happen.
The fans, everybody in Ann Arbor, all of the Michigan faithful understand, as well as the coaches and the players, how important this game is. Everybody understands.
Yep.
I knew the Clippers were going to beat the Warriors, but I didn't know they were going to beat the Warriors like this. They hung 141 points. Contributions from everybody. Jalen, what did you think of LA's dominant performance in San Francisco?
I think one of the underrated storylines going into this game was that Kawhi just shot these boys down and won a championship recently.
Yep.
So imagine now looking at their team, no Klay Thompson, no injured Kevin Durant, and now all of a sudden you're like, I'm with this Clipper squad. Playing at home, showing promise, and Doc Rivers is unlocking a part of his game that we've always talked about, his passing. So many guys get in front of a microphone, say, my guys, and how I'm going to elevate the squad and help us win. But that responsibility usually means to make everybody else better. The 9 assists is what jumps out to me for Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
It really does. It wasn't just Kawhi, though. They get contributions from everybody. Harrell, Shamit, Williams, Zubac was even out there getting buckets. Like, it's really impressive, this total team that they have. Again, the bench scored 60 points for the second straight game. Like, I don't think I've ever seen that. 68 points from the bench. They're so deep. And don't forget this. They're adding Paul George. And that's not that far off. How much do you think Paul George will change their rotation and their performance?
I don't think it's going to change it a lot, and here's why. Mm. Because he's a versatile two-way player that can play multiple positions, whether in the backcourt or in the frontcourt on a given night. It allows you to play him with Kawhi, without Kawhi, with the first lineup, with the second lineup. Imagine him out there with the second team, Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, a part of that dynamic, getting up and down the floor and locking down on defense. We are not surprised that the Clippers are a terrific basketball team. This is why many people have them picked to win the championship.
Well, there's also the other side of the ball now. We knew the Warriors were going to be different than they have been for the past few years. Obviously, they're missing Kevin Durant. They're missing Klay Thompson. But they still have D'Angelo Russell, Steph Curry, Draymond Green. And we thought that they would put up at least a little bit more of a fight against the Clippers. But Steve Kerr, after the game, told us about the sort of new era in the Bay Area.
Not great, Art. It doesn't feel very good. Losing stinks. It's no fun. More the reality of the NBA than, you know, the last 5 years we've been living in a world that isn't supposed to exist. This is reality. Nine guys, 23 or younger, and, you know, we're starting over in many respects.
This is the reality of the NBA. This is the new era. What do you feel about Steve Kerr's sort of resignation to losing basketball?
Well, what he basically did there was a challenge to his basketball team. As he acknowledged the age of his players, he didn't acknowledge the fact that he have a two-time MVP in Steph Curry, who's also a three-time champion, along with Draymond Green. Those guys are going to have to be the catalyst, and we know this, to any success that the Golden State Warriors plan to have. And I know it's easy to overreact to the way they got thumped on opening night. I still believe they have what it takes to be a playoff team. But the challenge is going to be, can they give sustained effort defensively? Draymond Green has already proven that he can lock down on that end of the floor. When you have a young squad, that's the growing pain. And also, Steph Curry, along with his greatness, his nickname, along with his backcourt mate, was Splash Brothers. It wasn't just one. No. And the thing that Klay brought to the table at 6'7" is that he can basically lock down on whoever's the best offensive player in the backcourt on the other team. Now you add D'Angelo Russell, who's a worse defender than Steph Curry. So now you're going to see players try to take advantage of that. I think the Warriors adjust, and I still think they have a better season than a lot of people woke up this morning feeling like they're going to have.
Well, we had another big game in the NBA last night between the Rockets with Russell Westbrook and the Bucks and Greek Freak. This was a very interesting game. But sometimes, Jalen, when you do this for a living, you have to admit when you're wrong. And early on in the game, I saw the way that the Bucks were doing that gimmicky defense thing where they're covering Harden all the way on the left side. And here's what I tweeted. Dear Bucks, that gimmicky defense on Harden never works. Well, guess what happened in the game?
No!
James Harden went 2-for-13 from the field, and the gimmicky defense kind of owned him. Jalen, are you still going to do the show with me?
Well, first off, you're the guy that scored 0 this week in a rec league game.
Hey, man.
So you shouldn't be talking about defense is not working.
No.
Because you know that somebody could get shut down. You're living proof of it.
Yeah.
Also, the Bucks have done this constantly when they play against James Harden. And here's what helps it be effective. You're basically playing against the analytics. You remember so many times when I talk about rhythm and taking the best shot available.
Yep.
And the lost art of the mid-range. Nobody embodies that more than the Houston Rockets. So what do? You get on James Harden's left shoulder. You force him to use his right hand. But a lot of people do that to us lefties. That's not the issue. The issue is I'm going to take away the three and force you to the basket where the Greek Freak, where both Lopez's can now contest you at the rim. Yep. And what that also does, it takes away a high percentage pass to the left corner where P.J. Tucker made more shots in that spot than anybody in the league last year. So that's not a gimmick. It's game plan executed A+.
Yeah. The Rockets had the lead throughout the first half and into the third quarter, but the Bucks came back led by a triple-double from the former MVP. What did you see from the Greek Freak?
Doing it all facets. And by the way, you see that mid-range jump shot right there?
Yep.
Over P.J. Tucker, who does a terrific job at basically 6'4 of guarding players at any size. But you notice a couple of things that the Greek Freak improved at. One, his passing.
Yep.
Two, his handle is better. And three, now when he dunks, he does it angrily. It's one thing to get the bucket because you're the biggest, tallest dude out there. It's another thing to do it with ferocity.
Yep.
And that's what I saw from him. A beast out there. He taking it personal
on every possession.
That's what I appreciate.
Snarling, lifting up the knees while he hangs on the rim. Like, I liked it a lot, what I saw from the Greek Freak.
I love that so much.
Triple double. Jalen, I have some bad news. I thought the Pistons were going to go 82-0. I really thought the Pistons were going to go 82-0. And they had their home opener last night hosting the Hawks, but they forgot about Trae Young. Ice Trae the game. 38 points, 9 assists, 7 rebounds. He was shooting from everywhere. You can't even see where he's shooting from on the screen. Like, he's shooting from so deep that I was shocked that he pulled up from where he pulled up sometimes. What do you see from Trae Young?
I remember when I first started this job, and you always try to have different catchphrases and stuff like that.
Sure.
So I was a guy that, regardless where teams were playing, I would say a suburb when they shot it from deep. Mm-hmm. So Detroit plays in downtown. He shot those from Auburn Hills, where the team used to play.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people who criticized him coming into the league, I remember he was on Get Up, and I did a breakdown with him, and I tried to school the world on something. When you have range the way he does, when you can handle the way he does, and an underrated passer to make people better like Collins, who he basically unlocked his game, yep. Now all of a sudden it opens up the floor. What people don't realize, the Hawks basically practice with Trae Young 4-point shots. And why do they do that? A, because he can make them, but also B, it now opens the floor. So when you turn the corner on the pick and roll, you can still pull up at the three line. It gives you more room when you're driving to do your kicks. But again, the game was all about him. He was fantastic. Lil bro, Sean Don, Big Sean was at the game. It was the home opener. They didn't get it done. You know what needs to happen, right? Saturday against Philly, I need to be there.
It's got to happen.
That's what needs to happen.
It's got
to
happen.
I'll be there.
I also want to give a big shout to Derrick Rose. People are not talking about this, but Derrick Rose had 27 last night. He had over 20 in the first game. Derrick Rose looks great so far in these two games this season. I predict that he will eventually start over Reggie Jackson.
Yep.
Jalen, I think we should give the people what they want.
Let's get it.
Just okay is not okay. Whether you're talking about your wireless network or college football. So on Saturday morning, when you're looking for the best game to watch, we know you're all in on your team. But after that, don't settle for just an okay matchup. Do what I do. Find the best game that's going on with the best teams and the best players, like choosing a wireless network. You want to go with America's best network, that's AT&T. Just like the best of the best in college football, you can never settle for just okay. Whether you're trying to coordinate who's painting their chest with what letter or where the tailgate is going down, just okay is never okay, especially when it comes to your wireless network. So get AT&T, America's best network, and stay on top of your game all season long. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019. Jalen, we have some bad news for the Phoenix Suns. DeAndre Ayton, their former number one pick, has been suspended for 25 games for violating the substance abuse policy. He tested positive for a diuretic. Here's what Ayton had to say about his suspension. He said, quote, "I want to apologize to my family, the entire Suns organization, my teammates, partners, our fans, and the Phoenix community. This was an unintentional mistake, and unfortunately, I put something in my body that I was completely unaware of." Jalen, why would a diuretic be banned in the NBA?
So we talk and joke a lot on this fine program about something being a failed test. Well, mm-hmm. This is legitimate. How about that
test.
For the first time in a long time?
Yes.
So, and I talk about this not to get away from the actual subject, because anytime you're missing games, you're costing yourself $2 million. You're not out there for your teammates. For a Phoenix Suns team, they had a good win against the Kings. You hope to try to build on that. You need your number one pick out there running alongside Booker, because without him, their season could get away from them these 25
games is a lot of games.
These 25 games. That's a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
But I always acknowledge this too. The only professional sports that I basically see players get punished for direct or indirect medicinal use is the NBA and the NFL. And for Ayton, of course you don't want to put yourself in this position, but I'm still going to stand on the table and acknowledge that those are the two sports that just so happen to be predominantly black that continue to punish players for basic marijuana use.
So he did not test positive for marijuana, make it clear. He tested positive for a diuretic, but a diuretic is often used as a masking agent to sort of flush out the system if you have something in your system that you believe you might test positive for. So we're not saying that DeAndre Ayton smoked marijuana, but what he did do is he tested positive for a diuretic that is something that you flush out your system of something else that might be a positive test. Now, they also are going to go to arbitration with this, saying that he unknowingly put it into his body. How do you think that's going to play out? It's a very difficult thing to prove.
Well, it's not going to play out well, because if you think about it, there are 450 players in the league and only one got suspended for 25 games. So I don't think that it's going to get reduced. If it's the rule and you break the rule, you should be punished. But young fella, I want to introduce you to something. It's called niacin. N-I-A-C-I-N.
And we putting it on wax.
What does niacin do, Jalen Rose? What does niacin do, Jalen Rose?
I'm just introducing them to something.
You introduced the entire national audience to it, so you might as well cop to it. What is it? I don't know what niacin is. Never heard of it.
I mean, I've been retired for 10-plus years, so I don't know if this is on the banned substances list or not, but it is something that can kind of help flush out your system if you need so.
Jalen, are you confessing to something right here on live national television?
Are you? Very knowledgeable individual about a lot
well-versed.
Of things.
You're just well versed.
Entertainment, politics, you know, niacin. All of those type of things. You know, I'm just here to advise. That's all.
Don't get fired. Don't get fired. If you get fired, I get fired. So let's move on. Nathaniel, Mr. Diaz. What, Nathan?
Nate.
Let me explain why Jalen and I are so upset. That's Nate Diaz right there. And he was going to fight Jorge Masvidal in one of the most anticipated UFC fights in years. And me and Jalen Rose were actually going to leave the house on a Saturday, go to MSG, have some dinner, have an adult beverage, sit close to the octagon, get some blood on us. And now Nate Diaz says that he might not fight in that fight. Why? He wasn't suspended, but the USADA, which is the sort of the governing body, the test for performance-enhancing drugs in the UFC, they said that they found trace amounts of something in his system. And he vehemently denies it, says he only eats whole food, he doesn't even eat meat. He's like, this is ridiculous, his legacy is at stake, and he feels his reputation is at stake, and he is not here for it. And he said that he will not make the fight in New York City. So, Jalen, he has not been told he can't fight, yet he's feels so disrespected and wronged that he's saying he's not going to fight. Am I upset because he ruined my weekend? He ruined my weekend.
Yes, he did. And I have chains of emails in my phone that talk about how much fun we were planning to have before, during, and after this fight to go represent our guy, Masvidal, who came on our program. We promised him we was going to be there. We also promised him, once he took care of business, we were going to party with him and celebrate in Miami, potentially. So not only is he ruined our opportunity to kick it in New York, he's ruining our opportunity to kick it at KOD in Miami.
So, Jalen, when there's a lot of money at stake like this, and there's a big fight coming up, and I don't think you and I are the only people that plan to go to or watch this fight. Do you think Dana White gets on the phone? Do you think someone gets on the phone, gets to Diaz, and he will be in MSG, in the octagon, on November 2nd?
I believe this fight actually takes place. Now, Nate Diaz, you only get one reputation. And if you felt like you've been done wrong, I understand you doing what you can to protect that. But I want to introduce athletes to something. And this all out facts.
What's up?
Fans don't care anymore about athletes being suspended for PED use. It used to be a time where that was a big deal.
Yes.
And it would ruin your reputation. Now, with the information that goes into being an elite athlete, people understand that they do performance-enhancing things all of the time. You ever heard of something like caffeine? People do that all of the time. Can't wake up, can't move without it. So now, as a context for athletes, people understand that you have to do extraordinary things to be special at your sport. And if you get punished for PEDs as an NFL player, as a Major League Baseball player, as an NBA player, as a UFC fighter, the public's not going to hold it against you anymore. So therefore, we'll see him in the octagon next Saturday.
I do want to see him in the octagon next Saturday. And also want to say that I actually believe Nate Diaz. Like, he is famous about his diet and his training and his dedication to his body and the things that he puts in it. And I feel like he has actually been wronged in this case. Moving on to some very important news that matters. Jalen, we have some news about a television show you might be familiar with. Goes by the name of Power. Have you ever seen Power? You watch that show?
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Would you, Jalen, if someone went to you and said one of these two shows needs to be canceled, Jalen and Jacoby or Power, which one would you pick?
Oh, this one would be canceled, fam. We could get another gig, I hope, eventually. But they cannot ever cancel Power. They're already building out the characters right now for the retake. It's almost like I've seen with Black-ish. Then they have grown-ish and mixed-ish. Power's basically doing that with the characters right now, as you're acknowledging adding somebody that we know from ABC and my guy, Jesse Williams.
Jesse Williams will be in Power. He will star as Lakeisha, played by Lala Anthony's ex, and also the father of their son, Cash. Jalen, what do you expect from this character?
Shout to Courtney Kemp, my brother 50 Cent, because when Keisha dies, Cash obviously have a parent.
Spoiler alert.
Now you enter a great actor with a terrific reputation, almost like they did with Lorenz Tate. People didn't see his character coming out of anywhere. And I also, I appreciate this. And the show, like I said, continues to grow. This is going to be fascinating. At 12:01, I can't wait to watch.
When we put this topic in the show, I was like, I know Jalen's going to spoil it for everybody that hasn't seen the latest episode yet. I know he's going to spoil it for everybody that hasn't seen the latest episode yet. My apologies for all the people that haven't seen the latest episode of Power. Jalen Rose, so excited about this NBA season. And one of the things that everyone is focused on are the Los Angeles Lakers, as always. So high expectations since they added AD, yet they face another good team in the Western Conference tonight in the Staples Center when they host the Utah Jazz. However, they will be doing it with Rajon Rondo, who will be starting at point guard. What do you think about the decision to start Rondo at point guard?
No surprises here. There will be many games that he starts, probably will not finish, but you need to take some of the ball handling responsibilities away from LeBron James, who's in his 17th year. He can't be required to create for himself and create for others the entire game, plus dribble the ball from the top of the key to the top of the key all of the time. That's just more load management, per se, for a guy that's going to turn 35 this season. So if you look at the dynamics of their roster, you can't truly judge who they are until Kyle Kuzma comes back.
Good
because
point.
LeBron likes to operate basically as a power guard, where he's the second biggest guy out there. And what does that mean? That means Anthony Davis going to finish at the five. He'll basically be finishing at the 4-3 along with Kyle Kuzma. And then they'll figure out their backcourt situation with Danny Green. And then maybe Rondo and or Avery Bradley. Probably less minutes for KCP, who struggled in the first game. And so Rondo really puts everybody kind of in their natural position and takes minutes away from guys that were overextended in the first game.
Well, I'm glad you pointed out the difference between the start of the game and the finish of the game, because they start the game with McGee at the center and they use him, but they used a lot more McGee and Howard at center in that very first game than I expect them to. Do you expect them to use more AD at the five throughout the game than they did in the first game?
I do. And here's why. For LeBron James to be as effective as you need him to be, the guy that he plays up front with either has to be a shooter or a finisher.
Yep.
Look when he was at his best, playing alongside Chris Bosh, playing alongside Kevin Love, or even Tristan Thompson, who was on the dunk spot as a finisher. Those are the guys that keep the floor open for LeBron. Anthony Davis is a terrific talent, but guess what he's not necessarily known to do? Knock down jump shots consistently at a high clip.
Nope.
So he's not going to give the spacing needed if you have those two big guys out there. It basically clogs up the paint, forces LeBron to be perimeter oriented, and doesn't give him the driving lanes to draw and kick.
One thing that we've always said about LeBron James is his best teammates are shooters or defenders. And that's why I love Danny Green on this roster so much, because he is both a shooter and a defender. We predicted a big performance in Danny Green in game one, and I feel like we'll get the same thing in game two. I feel like Danny Green is so important to this team, especially with Kyle Kuzma no longer on the roster. That's one big game, but Jalen, we have the Battle of New York City, the Battle of the Boroughs. Huge game in Brooklyn where the Nets take on the Knicks. I don't know why I'm so excited for this trash game, but we had 50 points from Kyrie Irving in game one of this season. 50 points. And now he goes against the Knicks. What do you expect to see from Kyrie?
Kyrie talked about basically trying to put on a show in honor of his grandfather who passed away a year ago to when he dropped that big game, his opening night for the Nets. But Here's what's going to have to happen. I told you it was going to be a show. And for New Yorkers, and you from the East Coast, I don't have to tell you this. They love the ball handling wizardry. They love the oohs and the ahs.
Oh, yeah.
They love the ankle breaking. And then you worry about the finish. Yep. And then you worry about the score. And so what Kyrie and the Nets now have to do is to allow Caris LeVert, Torian Prince to be able to make plays and feel involved, because you don't want to be that ball dominant primary ball handler that gets 50 points in the first game, but then it doesn't look good when you're not efficient on certain nights. So they just have to find a level of balance, and I think that's going to start tonight.
So, Jalen, when I saw all the pieces that the Knicks picked up in the offseason, I said to myself, oh, this is interesting. And then you look at their roster. They've got like 11 players that all feel like they should be getting real minutes, and it causes a problem. And we saw it in the first game. Dennis Smith Jr. played just over 10 minutes in the first game. Fizdale favored Elfrid Payton over him. And my question for you is, do you think that Dennis Smith will bounce back and sort of regain his spot and his minutes in the point guard position for the Knicks?
I think he'll bounce back. But for those that were watching the game, the Knicks were playing well. And one of the things Elfrid Payton is going to do is defend. And you're playing at San Antonio. You get off to a good first half. You're playing them close through three. Julius Randle has some sort of injury issue with his leg. He goes out of the game. And while he's in and out of the game, the Spurs go on like this 18-0 run and become the San Antonio Spurs on their home floor and find a way to get a win. But for Fizdale, this is what it's got to be. You got to go in there. You got to earn your minutes fast. When you have a deep team, like you said, where a lot of people expect to play minutes, I anticipate Dennis Smith Jr. is going to bounce back, and he's going to play quality minutes all season for this team.
I think so, too. I really like Dennis Smith Jr.'s game. I mean, they essentially traded Kristaps Porzingis for him, so he's going to get some minutes. Moving on, Kevin Durant was on Quinn Richardson and Darius Miles' podcast, and he was asked an interesting question. They said, if you could make up a team, including yourself, comprised of your former teammates, what team would you create? And they allowed him to take his current Brooklyn roster as well. Well, here is the team that he compiled. Makes sense. Got Kyrie, of course. He teamed up with him. James Harden. Yep, that makes sense. Got himself. Okay. Draymond Green. Serge Ibaka. They said we can switch everything on D. We've got all world scorers. That's a perfect team. Jalen, there's one human being that's going to be in Springfield in the Hall of Fame who is sometimes called the greatest shooter ever. Steph Curry is not on this list. Is he sneak dissing Steph with this list?
How about this? You didn't mention another guy that he played with and averaged a triple-double for three straight years. That he went to the NBA Finals with in OKC. Russell Westbrook was was also omitted from that team. So here's a couple of things. He went by positions. So in theory, I understand where he was going. And he got to add Kyrie because he basically went to play with the Nets because Kyrie was going to be a part of the squad. And I know that it seems that he's throwing shade at Steph because he is. He won two championships with the Golden State Warriors. He went there to run on Steph's team.
And also, he's like, we can switch everything on D. Like, oh, can you? Kyrie Irving can switch everything on D? And I get
it. James Harden?
D? In his defense, he did go by position. But if I was making that team, I would include either Steph or Westbrook. And it's to be like, me and Draymond can handle the bigs. We'll be fine. The Jalen and Jacoby podcast is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear. More driven. What a time in sports it is right now with the NBA season underway, NFL season right there in the middle of it, and the World Series. With all this news, it's time to keep it moving. If you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, me, you and Method Man jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Rose?
Let's get it.
Big World Series Game 3 tonight in D.C. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
It is Greinke versus Sanchez. That's the pitching matchup in a very winnable game for the Astros. You say that every one of your baseball picks has been right so far this year. That's what you say. So you tell us, Rose Tradamus, who is going to win the game tonight in D.C.?
So those national bats have been waking. And based on their aces getting it done on the road, unlike the Houston Astros, I feel like coming into this series, I didn't anticipate a sweep. But it's going to be 3-0 after this game.
I'm going the other way. I think that Sanchez is beatable. The Astros need it. They're back against the wall. This is going to be an Astros victory. You're going to be wrong. I'm going to be right. And I'm going to bring it up on Monday. Next, Saturday, big game in the big house. Keep moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes!
The Michigan Wolverines host the Irish of Notre Dame in a very important game for the Wolverines season that they must now salvage after losing to Wisconsin and Penn State. Jalen, what do you expect to see in the big house on Saturday?
This is going to be a tough game, fam.
Night game, too.
The Golden Domers are really good at football.
Yeah, they are.
The saving grace for me is that we're playing at home in front of 120,000.
Night game, too.
Our fan base is very, very knowledgeable. And our alums are amazingly supportive of our squad. The players know. The coaches know. This is a really important game for Michigan football. It's bigger than the score. It's about recruiting. It's about legacy. Yep. It's about John Harbaugh being 1-10 versus top 10 teams. So there will be a sense of urgency in Ann Arbor. That's why I'm picking Amazing Blue to get it done.
You know what? I like the idea that it's a night game with that huge stadium and all those fans cheering. Like, this is, like you said, it feels like there's a lot at stake for the Michigan program beyond just the win or loss. It feels like this is a pivotal moment for the program that could, and I'm not overstating when I say this, that this would kind of swing them one way or the other for a few seasons to come. Moving on. Antonio Brown is back in the news. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Keep it moving for now.
Let's keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
Jalen, you won't believe who won the Thursday night football game between the Washington team and the Vikings. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
At the end of this year, Washington is going to be looking for a coach. They had Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, and Sean McVay in their building. Keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Keep it moving.
We keep it moving.
You better hit the brakes on this one. I have a LaMelo Ball update from Australia. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes
on this one. It was RJ Hampton versus LaMelo Ball, two players that will be in the NBA next season, but they're now in Australia. LaMelo looked good. You know, he didn't shoot the lights out, but, you know, he's been pretty solid. I think he had 10 points, 7 assists, but he's shooting from deep. And he had one very loud putback bucket that is right here. Watch him on the baseline. Yagang!
Oh!
Jalen, do you like what you've seen from LaMelo in the clips from Australia?
He has what I want Lonzo to do. Ooh, a level of aggression that he plays with. They both can handle, but he has more seemingly of a I'm going at your neck type of attitude. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that about his game. And you know how much I love tall point guards. So I'm rooting for the Ball brothers. But with the Pelicans, I need to see Lonzo play with that level of aggression that I'm seeing LaMelo play in. That's why he's going to be a top-tier pick in the NBA draft.
I want to correct myself. He had 7 rebounds, not 7 assists, 4 assists, and RJ looked good too in this game. Like, there's a couple really good young basketball players playing in Australia right now. Shout to Homicide, who covers that league.
Corey, on, my guy.
Bad news.
Shout out.
That's my guy. Got some bad news for the Kings. Jalen Rose, keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Get well soon, young fella. Keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Kings have promise.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Got an update on everyone's favorite gigantic NBA player, Taco Fall. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Okay, Jalen, this is one of those stories that's very serious, but also kind of funny. Taco Fall is in the concussion protocol because he hit his head on a ceiling. Am I allowed to make fun of this, Jalen?
You laugh when people fall. So, of course, you laugh when people hit their heads on low ceilings and get concussions in their rookie year.
Listen, concussions are very serious. I've dealt with many concussions myself, and I've got some residual problems because of it. But this is funny. If you're that tall, you're at the facility. Like, when they built this building, did they not think there were going to be tall people in there? And also, if you've been that tall for that long, you got to keep your head up. You got to see how, you know, you got to be looking for things. I'm sure this isn't the first time that Taco Fall has bumped his head. I hope him a speedy recovery.
I want you to look for something. Hey, Tanner, roll it.
Oh, no.
This is a real teammate right here. Jalen brought the staff. Yeah. Breakfast. Jalen.
Small token of my appreciation for your hard work and professionalism.
So, who has never bought us anything?
Who will never buy you anything,
Kobe?
Tanner, your hair looks amazing.
Yes, it does.
There we go.
The best.
Thank you, Jalen.
My love.
Couple things. Number one. I'm so glad you did that because the staff in Los Angeles has been complaining incessantly ever since they found out that you buy lunch for the staff out here. So now they can finally be quiet about that. And number two, you know what I like? I like it when you do something and you just do it out of the goodness of your heart. You don't need it to be filmed and put on national television. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, make sure you film this and put it on TV when I do something nice. I understand how it goes. And yes, you are right. I will never, ever, ever buy the staff anything.
See, here's the thing. There are 7,000 employees at the Worldwide Leader, probably 1,000 people that talk about sports on television. I now am doing it to encourage somebody else to actually consider it as well at this point, including you, for the hardest working people in the industry that make all of you guys look good. You guys making hundreds and millions of dollars to talk about sports. Half of the time that you ain't watching or researching, that's all.
Okay. Listen, you see that topic bar right there? I mean, this is slander. I've lost control of this program. This is slander. Right there on the topic bar. I thought we were journalists. I thought we were covering sports, not just trashing each other on television.
Oh, Jalen. Says the guy sitting in front of a picture with the Beastie Boys that have 50 beer cans behind him. Got it.
Huge weekend in sports, and we are here to preview all of it for you. And we start with two top 10 teams in football meeting win. LSU hosts Auburn in Baton Rouge. Jalen, any chance that Bo Nix and Auburn can pull off an upset?
There is a chance, but LSU continues to flourish each week to the point where now, if you notice, they're just climbing and climbing in the ranks. And they're led by their quarterback, Joe Burrow, who normally at LSU, we marvel at their skill position players, their running backs, their wide receivers, their defense. But now their quarterback play has caught up to the rest of the team's talent. I think LSU gets it done at home.
Jalen, the Browns face the Patriots, giving the quarterback with the most interceptions up against the secondary with the most interceptions. How many picks will Baker Mayfield throw when they face the Patriots? How many?
So this is one of those games that's character building for the Cleveland Browns. Here's why. You can go and get a win against the Patriots, and it can springboard your season, and it can quiet a lot of the noise that people have had around your team, some of it self-inflicted. You go throw, and I'm going to answer your question, two picks against the Patriots. They go 8-0. You go to 2-5. That narrative continues to snowball, and it ain't been good.
If Baker Mayfield throws two picks against the Patriots, they're going to throw him up a parade when he gets back to Cleveland. That's all I have to say about that. Moving on. The Seahawks head to Atlanta to face the Falcons. Jalen, is this going to Monday going to be like the fifth Monday in a row where we talk about Dan Quinn potentially getting fired?
So we don't support or promote somebody to lose their job because I respect someone's livelihood, clearly. But Dan Quinn, this season has gotten out of control. I think he's lost that football team. You look at the talent that they have, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I think the Seattle Seahawks bounce back. I think the Ravens play a total different physical brand of basketball, brand of football than the Atlanta Falcons do, who like to air it out and or sometimes run it with Freeman. I think the Seahawks respond and get a win on the road.
Oh, definitely they're going to get a win, and definitely on Monday we'll be talking about Dan Quinn potentially getting fired, if he isn't fired Monday morning. Moving on, the Chiefs host the Packers, and the biggest question mark in this game is Patrick Mahomes going to play? He dislocated his knee last week, but he's been practicing during the week. Should Mahomes play against the Packers?
Don't do it. Please don't do it. You don't want to put your star quarterback, the most important position in football, back out there after a human being just put his kneecap back in place less than 2 weeks ago. I just don't understand that logic. I don't believe he plays. Therefore, the Green Bay Packers go to 7-1.
I think the Packers are the best team in the NFC, and they're going to prove it again on Sunday night. Jalen, the Lions are going to win on Sunday. Again, the Lions are going to win. They host Danny Dimes and the Giants. It's going to be at home in Detroit at 1 p.m. Are the Lions going to win? More meow or roar from the Lions?
As a degenerate Lions fan, I love the team so very much. These are the periods of the year, Jacoby, that the rest of the world ain't watching, where the seasons start to spiral out of control.
Oh, yeah.
I think Saquon Barkley's going to run the football effectively. You talked about us trading our safety. We don't have Kerryon Johnson. Golden Tate returns.
Are we going to get a meow?
Get a win on the road.
Oh, wow. Jalen has lost all faith in the Lions early this year. Usually it's around Thanksgiving when you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what, Jay? You know what I just decided? You need to show me around Ann Arbor. I've never been to Ann Arbor. I don't want to wait for the statue to be unveiled.
Here's what really needs to happen.
Live show.
Why don't we just take the show to Ann Arbor, Michigan?
Juwan Howard's a coach of the basketball team. I don't know if you know that.
I only have like one or two connections there.
I'm sure you got some kind of connection. Let's do it.
I've only graduated students from there.
Let's do it. Little known fact, Jalen Rose graduated from college, didn't graduate from University of Michigan. Finished.
Yes, indeed.
His college degree. Where was it?
University of Maryland, University College.
There you go.
I was just trying to get it done, dog.
You gotta get it done. Oh, of course.
Hey, man. Let me tell you what was funny. I was a member of the Pacers, right? And Larry Brown was giving me DMPs. I was like, oh, I got some time on my hand, like Mary J. Blige. I'm like, maybe this NBA thing ain't going to last as long as I thought. I need to go back and get my degree. Real spiel.
Is that when you got your chauffeur's license?
Fam, I'm a renaissance man. I'm going to eat regardless. I'm getting DMPs. I rented a house. I was, instead of getting blinds and stuff, I put paper up on the windows.
I know.
My neighbors
crazy.
Were so mad.
That's crazy.
I'm like, I ain't buying nothing.
Yeah. You're just so Detroit. You're just so Detroit. Just chewing gum and newspapers on the windows.
Dog, I was in Denver as a rookie. I broke the team assist record, made the rookie game. We made the playoffs. I get traded after my second year. I'm getting DMPs. I'm like, maybe this NBA thing ain't going to be forever.
Yeah, maybe not.
I need my degree.
I can imagine.
I need my chauffeur's license. I need everything. I need to be practicing in the media. Like, all of that. And then all of a sudden, Larry Legend becomes the coach. Larry Joe Bird.
God, I love Larry Bird so much.
He like, if you don't get in that game and go ball, stop playing around. Don't worry about what these fools got to say. They can't stop you. Rick Carlisle, like, you, if you don't get on that block, get on that elbow, you skinny, but you got a big backside. You could post up all day.
Yeah, they played some old Jalen Rose highlights on Countdown. Was that Wednesday night? They played some old Jalen Rose on Wednesday night, and I was watching it with my boys, and I was like, you see how skinny this dude is? And he had post game. Like, that's exactly what I said to him. I was like, you see how skinny he is? Looks like he weighs 140 pounds, and he mainly scores in the post. Like, the game was different back then, man. You can't post up for that size anymore. You can't post up that size
anymore.
You
saw what it is, fam, it's not about what I learned a long time ago. Post game ain't about your size or your physical build. It's about positioning.
Yeah.
And a soft touch.
You gotta be strong, though. You gotta be strong.
I'm right shoulder jump hooking you all day. You take that away, baseline turnaround jumper. I can shoot that shot all the way out to the three line. One dribble, blindfolded.
I think you and Mark Jackson are probably the best post-up backcourt in the history of basketball. Like, Mark Jackson and Kevin McHale are the two best post players I've ever seen in my life. Like, Mark Jackson was like the whole thing. He would pass to somebody, he would go on the post, and he would score from the post, and it would never be a highlight. It would never look good. Never, ever once.
All day. Mark Jackson never jumped off his opposite leg. You never seen him do anything finishing around the bucket with his left hand. Ever.
I'm trying to think. No, nothing's coming to mind.
Ever. You never
did you
saw
have a right
it.
Hand?
Yeah, he had a right hand. So,
did you have a right hand?
He like myself. Who, me?
Yeah. A lot of lefties are like
right hand
dominant.
Jump hook.
Oh,
right hand jump hook all day.
He's good at basketball. If I took a all jump day. Hook with my left hand, like, you wouldn't let me play basketball anymore. You saw it. Why you got to bring up my 0 points, Jalen? I'm sad now.
I think that messed up your week. It messed up your month. It messed up your year.
I wanted to retire. I wanted to retire. I really did.
There are no reason you should be playing basketball games at you're the Joker. You shouldn't be having zero.
I know. I was on a good run, too. I was on a good run. I had 10 points and then 14 points. Started to feel myself. Oh,
right.
I'm sad now. I'm sad now, Jay. I'm sad, legit.
Hey, Jacole, and this is like, when you talk post-game, it's like punching the bully. I purposely go post up people that was way bigger and stronger than me and score on them. I do that on purpose. That kills you mentally.
Let me tell you one thing about the post-game that I've learned in my various years of playing pickup and rec league basketball. A lot of your success in the post, at least mine, depends on the entry pass. If you get a good entry pass, it makes the post move a lot easier. You know what I mean? Like, if someone gives you a really good pass to the right side at the right angle, like, that's even better than having a good post move is getting a good entry pass.
No doubt about it. And if you noticed, like, players from that era, like, I grew up playing on a milk crate that was nailed to a telephone pole. So, had to shoot the runner. You run into that pole, you splinters all day. Dudes out there hacking, like playing street ball. And so a few guys that came to mind that also shot floaters like me, Mark Jackson, Nick Van Exel, they shot floaters too. Tony Parker, when he got to
Parker
the league.
Parker had one of the best.
And if you notice, and by the way, I remember being a tall guy through college, and people always felt like that was a bad shot. Always felt like it was a bad shot. And if you look at today's game, that's why I acknowledged how since you have to have touch to do that shot, you see players doing wrong foot, wrong hand shots. Like you saw with Ben Simmons the other day. Like you saw with Luka the other day. Like you saw with Gilgeous Alexander the other day. Kyrie and Steph every day. Because they don't shoot them. I used to shoot them giant killers. No matter who coming, Hakeem, Shaq, I throw it up to the giant killer. They be waving at it.
But then you got to land and run into him. That's the problem.
And never get the foul. No. Never get the foul. That's why That's why coaches felt like that was a bad shot, because you never get the foul.
Never, ever, ever. No. I mean, technically it might be.
And if it don't go straight in, it's off.
Oh, yeah.
If it don't go straight in, it's off. Ain't no bounce off the rim. Ain't no hit the backboard. You got to have a soft touch to shoot those.
If you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. But before we get to the voicemail, I have to address something. On the television show today, Jalen Rose, we aired that you bought breakfast for the staff. Okay, so I do have some follow-up questions. First of all, that's harder to do than it sounds, because the staff gets there at like 4 in the morning. Yep. I don't even know what was open. Like, where did you even get the food, Jalen?
Respectfully, I want to use a term that I heard growing up. Ancient Chinese secret. This is what I do. I try to take care of the people that work very hard.
You always do.
That don't normally get the acknowledgement that they deserve. You know this.
You always do.
David Jacoby.
But then instead
we go
of
to a lot of restaurants and establishments together.
Of course. Oh, Jalen. Oh, let me give everybody a pro tip out there. Jalen taught me this one. Jalen taught me so much about just navigating life. You know? Tip the bus boys or the... No, I'm not, but boy is the wrong term, whatever, the bus person. Like, tip the support staff, not just your server, you know, because they're also coming there, cleaning up your plates, bringing you dishes, doing stuff. And yo, if you give them $5, they'll give you their life, because no one gives them $5. You know, I go to this one bar all the time, always tip the bus boys. I always tip the security guy, because there's going to be one day where someone's going to be drunk in there and someone's going to be acting up. And all of those people are going to solve the problem for me, and I don't even have to lift a finger or say a word. It pays off. It pays off. And also just do it because they're working for you.
And also, like, there were times in my life where I was flat out poor and got teased for being broke. So I understood how you could be doing something in a public service industry. And I noticed that most people don't know how to say please and thank you or show gratitude when people do things for them.
Nope. Yep.
And I learned it the hard way because people was doing that to me. And so I'm like, if I ever got an opportunity to put myself in a position to be a please and thank you kind of guy, I want to give a couple of tips. Number one, the places that you love to eat, the places that you go, the gas station, the supermarket, the bank, frequent those places. Frequent those places. Don't go to 50 banks.
Hold on, hit the brakes, Reg.
Don't go to 50 gas stations.
Hit the brakes, Reg.
Frequent those places.
First of all, so sometimes I got to remind you that you're rich and you've been rich your entire life. People, regular people like me, we don't go to the bank. We use ATMs. We don't go to the bank. We don't go to the teller. There's no reason to go to the teller unless you're rich. For real. I never go to a bank teller. So that just one. Sometimes I got to remind you that you live a rich person's lifestyle. But continue. You were making a very good point. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Sometimes there's an amount of money that I need to function that I can't get out of the ATM on one clip. That's all. But the importance of frequenting places is twofold. Number one, like Jacoby just acknowledged, when you frequent those places, guess what you're doing really often? You're tipping those people really often.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? 99% of people that come there, they're not tipping. They're not saying please. They're not saying thank you. They're not saying excuse me. They're sending their food back and they're complaining. They're getting their food, they're eating half of it and acting like, can I see a manager? Because I don't want to pay the bill. That is what happens in public service industries. Be a breath of fresh air in frequent places. Now, here's the flip side of that. There are going to be times where you get a little too tipsy.
Not me.
They're going to look after you. There are going to be times where you forget your bag. They're going to keep it for you.
Yep.
There are going to be times when you lose your glasses. They're going to hold them for you. There are going to be times where you walk in and it's crazy crowded. And people think they're just looking after me because I'm Jalen Rose. No, they're looking after me because I take care of the people.
And also,
I see so many people that are public figures that don't get love because they don't take care of people.
And also, let me remind you this one, too, because you live a rich person's lifestyle. I'm a regular person. One, this is very important when it's going to pay off for you, when you're broke. Payday is tomorrow. You don't have much money. You go there, be like, look, can I get you later on this? They will take care of you. They will do that. And again, you should take care of people and tip them just because they're there and they're providing you a service, but also because it pays off down the road. And again, I did tease a voicemail, so let's hit it. 985-80-JALEN. You can leave a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this. Reg?
Hey, everybody. This is Kenny from DMV. I just want to give a shout out to Reg. I know I got to shout him out to get on the pod. I have a question. I just went to a hip-hop concert and saw Sky Zoo, and one of my favorite lyricists of all time, Elzai. And I know Jalen's from the D. And so one of my questions is, who are your top five hip-hop artists that D from the Detroit that are not named Eminem or Royce? And also, I got another question. With the NBA kind of promoting a fast-paced offense, do you foresee a five-out motion-style NBA offense in the future? All right, thank you.
Okay, two very different questions. We'll start with the first one. Who are some of your favorite MCs from Detroit? And you better say T-Grizzly.
No doubt. That's my brother.
I love T-Grizzly.
Gotta shout out T-Grizzly. He got a new project coming out called T-Troy, where he going to be looking for a lot of Detroit artists to put on. I'm going to get him to come on the show, too.
Good.
One thing you will not do is put me in a Detroit box and ask me to rank them.
Nope.
I will not be doing that. However.
You got to see these people.
I will not be doing that. Yeah, I still live there, okay? I put on for the city, okay? I am not going to be comparing my brothers in any way, shape, or form. So, the hip-hop scene in Detroit has come a long way. Rest in peace to Big Proof.
Shout out.
I remember there were times being at the hip-hop shop and Maurice Malone jeans at a time where we were still trying to cultivate a hip-hop scene. We saw what was happening on the West Coast. We saw what was happening down South. We saw what's happening on the East Coast. Clearly, the birth of hip-hop is where that happened. And so there were a lot of artists at that time, Chaos and Maestro, Detroit's Most Wanted, that put on for the city. Okay? Esham probably has had 20... Nah, I take that back. I bet Esham has probably have 50 albums. 50.
Wow.
He's been out that long. The OG Trick Trick. No Fly Zone.
Shout out.
Shout to... Oh, man. So very many.
We've never made a full list on this show.
No.
Never. Like, you didn't mention Big
Sean.
So
here's what I'm going to do. Yes. Yes. So here's what I'm going to do for that caller. I'm going to make sure on this show, we talked about doing a couple of things. Our top comics. Our top rappers. I'm going to do a Detroit list.
Uh-oh.
No numbers, just a top list.
We're
all
so
the
bad
dope
at making
artists
lists.
That's been putting on for the city.
We're really bad at making lists. We're really good at a lot of things. We're bad at making lists. We got to work on that as a team. Also, he transitioned into this question. Do you think the NBA will have a five-out motion offense?
The NBA will have a five-out. Well, that's happening right now. It's called positional basketball.
Yeah. It kind of feels like we're doing that already.
Yep.
It does. Like the days we had one guy on the right block and one guy on the left block, we ain't doing that anymore.
Yes.
Nope.
So growing up in Detroit, Perry Watson used to have us do this workout called the 40-day workout, where regardless of your position, you did all of the skills. Because he used to say every player that grows to be 6'11 at some point was a 6'1 point guard.
Yep.
So not only did you have to have the skills for all of those positions, you had to have the knowledge of all of those positions.
Yep.
So in the NBA, there was times I started at point guard. There was times in the playoffs I started at the four. So I always embodied positionless basketball. And I remember an episode of First Take where I was talking about Russell Westbrook's game in like 2010 and 2011, debating Skip Bayless. And this topic came up. Because you hear it now 10 years later and people say like it's normal. But when I was saying it then, people was looking at me like I was crazy. And so, yes, the NBA has embodied five-out motion. Now it's masked as positionless basketball. We appreciate the call. Yep. Thank you for the love. Yep. I'm going to definitely get you that Detroit list. Stand up.
Big shout to Kenny. Appreciate you. Everybody call 9580-JALEN. Leave us voicemails. We'll get to them on Monday when we come back. Why is that, KRS?
We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
I got to give the people. Give people what they want.
They're my little guys. I love them.